Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Hot Take,
where I, along with Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Guys, it's been a week since we were last together. We just did the research. We had to backtrack a little bit, right? So the Lakers, at this point last week, the Lakers were up 2-0. The Heat were up 2-1. This is before the Nuggets took game three, and a day before we saw Hero Ball. And he dropped 37 points. Since then, both series have finished because, you know, everything's just flying right now. Crazy, crazy series, both Eastern and Western. I mean, crazy for different reasons. Let's talk about Lakers Nuggets first. Let's get into that. Again, last Tuesday night, the Nuggets took the third game. So the series is 2-1. And we're like, oh, man, here we go. And then the next time they played, the Lakers, they won it. So it was 3-1. They were like, oh, man, history repeats itself. You know, here comes Denver. But unfortunately, no, that's not what we saw. Lakers eventually closed it out. And I feel like saying closing out is like an understatement because of what LeBron James did to close out the series. I feel like he just completely dominated, obliterated, whatever aided there is to describe what LeBron James did to the Denver Nuggets. What were your guys, you know, Lawrence, what was your takeaways from the Lakers Nuggets? You know, just your thoughts.
Well, I guess like the rest of the series, like LeBron showed his greatness and the Nuggets showed their youth and their inexperience in the playoffs. I have nothing else to say. LeBron's a GOAT. he took over.
Yes, Lawrence. Yes.
Oh, man. I'm about to learn you guys something. Go ahead, Nat. What was your takeaways from Lakers Nuggets?
As you know, I'm a very passionate LeBron James fan. I've told you many occasions that he's the GOAT, and we always debate that. But, you know, seeing him close out game five like that, that large stretch in the fourth quarter of him just going off, they were up 3-1. You know, this noise with Kawhi and them blowing that lead. LeBron was like, no, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to close this out. And he did. And that's just greatness. You're able to, you know, not let history repeat itself. But in terms of the Nuggets, though, they are a great team. I see them possibly winning a chip in the next five or so years. Jokic was great. Murray was great. And then we saw Jeremy Grant evolve and become a star as well in that series. But they were no match for LeBron and AD, man.
So for the listeners, for people who don't know, when we say LeBron dominated that closeout game, he had a triple-double. He ended the series with a triple-double. 38 points. He had 16 rebounds, 10 assists. Plain LeBron fashion. That's just how he does. You know, like in big games, closeout games, he's just going to dominate. He's going to take over. I agree with what both of you were saying in the sense that... No. We'll save that debate for another time. I was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, so I know who the true GOAT is. But anyway, that's besides the point. I digress. You know, with what ended up happening, right, I had the highest hopes that the Nuggets were going to come back in some way, shape, or form. But you can't do that with when you have a veteran guy like LeBron James. I think the Lakers just completely outplayed them. Nat, you kind of alluded to it the last time we met, where Dwight Howard was getting in Nikola Jokic's head. And I didn't really see it that way. I thought Nikola Jokic was the more talented player. But I do feel that in this series, he did kind of hinder or slow down Nikola Jokic, whether it be physically or mentally. Those are my takeaways from Lakers Nuggets. It wasn't all that exciting, with the exception of game two and three, where it could have easily been, you know, the Nuggets with the lead. But I think everybody knew and understood that it was going to be the Lakers taking the series. I was probably one of the few people who said that it was going to be Denver in the finals. That's just because it was my hope that Miami would make it and make it easier for Miami to win another championship by beating the Denver Nuggets. But, you know, that didn't end up happening. So with that said, that was the Western Conference Finals. Let's move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, which was a little bit more dramatic. I'm a big Miami Heat fan.
Oh, you are?
I'm a big Miami Heat guy. But that's what I was about to get to. Both you and Lawrence, you guys were like, nah, Miami got this, Miami got this. And I was trying to do that thing where it's like you kind of humble your team. Like, nah, they can't do it. You know, it's going to be, you know, Celtics are going to come back with the hopes that Miami would outplay the Celtics. And
I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Even game six, I texted you guys. I didn't watch game six until the final minute and a half of the game just because I was so afraid. I'm one of those people who, if I watch my team and they lose, I think it's because of me and the fact that I'm watching.
Oh my.
So for people who don't know, right, the last time we met, Miami was up 2-1. In game three, Tyler Hero took over, played Tyler Hero ball as they say, dropped 37 yep. points, just went berserk for a 20-year-old. Yep. And then in game, what game was that? Game five, the Celtics, and I called it, the Celtics blew out the Heat. And then game six happens, and just when everybody thought the Celtics had momentum, that they were starting to figure out that Heat zone defense, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, here comes Miami. What are your guys' takeaways from Heat Celtics? Nat, what were your thoughts?
Well, first off, let me just say that this series was so fun to watch because I felt like every single win, that team who won earned it. Like, it wasn't really given to them. They had to earn all of their wins because they were both good on defense. It was really a good balance between both teams. But that last game, game six, I just remember like being scared. I was like, oh man, like the Celtics might be able to pull this off. They might.
Yeah.
Right. But then the Heat, they turned it around in the fourth quarter. Lawrence, you saw. Yep. Obviously, you saw. But,
so I'm in and out.
I don't know why, but the Celtics, they were settling for threes and they missed all their threes in the fourth. Well, most of the threes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Like, that's how you're going to lose the game. You were just shooting constantly those three pointers mm-hmm. while Miami was, you know, passing the ball around, driving in, giving it to Bam, who was great that game. Tyler and Duncan made, you know, two clutch shots towards the end of the fourth quarter. All in all, the Heat earned this win. The Celtics, I can't stand them. I'm glad they're out of here. I can't stand Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown too. Jaylen Brown's nice. He's a nice guy, but I can't stand him. I'm sorry. But all in all, it was fun to watch.
What about you, Lawrence? What are your takeaways?
First of all, I think Bam really made a name for himself. I know like this season, like he was an all-star, but I think it was this series that really set him apart from what he did in the regular season. Right. And that's going to like, you know, give him the momentum going forward as he continues his career. What he had like almost a triple double, right? In that game six, he was the spark plug. I think like he was the MVP of that series. For he sure. was, if there was no Bam in that series, they don't win that series. I'll also say that I think I was also scared too, Nat, in that fourth quarter. The Celtics were coming back, right? Like they were still playing well.
Yeah.
But I think they lost the game themselves. They definitely could have won that game, but they started forcing shots. Mm-hmm. They started forcing baskets that wasn't Celtics basketball. And I think the Heat like took advantage of that. The more and more that the Celtics missed those shots that they were forcing, they just lost their confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, it was in that moment that they were in panic mode and they were just trying to force and force and force and nothing was going down.
You know, I'm going to add two things though. Number one, I can't believe that in my 21 years of living that I would admit to being scared of Enes Kanter being on the floor. Game six, he was, you know, just killing them in the paint. And also, shout out Gordon Hayward. All right. He missed the birth of his son to get schooled by Tyler Hero. Gordon Hayward, I hope it was worth it, man.
Okay, so first and foremost, right, for my takes, all the props in the world to the Celtics because in a similar way with Miami, not a lot of people expected them to make it that far. Everybody expected either Toronto mm-hmm. or the Bucks. So for the Celtics to make it as far as they did, in my opinion, it was a hard-fought series. I told you guys prior to the series even beginning, when Miami played the Pacers, I was not scared. When they played the Bucks, the best team in all of the NBA, I was not scared. But prior to this series, I was petrified of the Celtics because of how well and how evenly matched they are, both offensively and defensively. With that said, I think game six was proof all the more that you guys alluded to it. Towards the end of the game, it was relatively a close game all the way up until the fourth quarter, right? Let me backtrack a little bit. Again, I didn't watch the first 3.5 quarters. Actually, most of the game I didn't watch. But I want to say, like, throughout the game, I was checking my ESPN app, you know, checking out what's the score. Miami was up by, like, 2 points, 4 points, 2 points. It just kept going back and forth. So I was like, man, this is going to be a really close game. And come fourth quarter, I check my phone one more time. The Celtics are up by 6. And I was like, see, this is my curse. I got to stop watching. I got to stop checking. So I put the phone down. When this was going on, Miami went on a run led by Bam Adebayo, led by Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, the difference between the Celtics and the Heat, and this is something you guys alluded to, when Miami started to come back, what did the Celtics do? They panicked. Mm-hmm. They started playing not Celtic basketball. They started launching threes, ill-advised threes. You have people like Marcus Smart, who, no offense to him, he's a great talent. But when he's shooting more than your star players, that's an issue. Why is the ball in? Why is he the one taking these crunch time shots? You know what I mean? This goes to prove that the Celtics were still a young team. Where Miami, they have veteran guys who have been in situations like that before, where even to start the fourth quarter, they may have been down, but they were never out. They never let it get to them mentally. And you saw that by the way they came back, by the way they took over and dominated the rest of the fourth quarter, led by a Bam Adebayo, who, and can I also just say, we talked about Bam, we talked about Duncan, we talked about Tyler Hero. Can we talk about Andre Iguodala for a quick second?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
To go 4-for-4, you know what I mean? Yes. Like hitting those deep, like clutch threes to keep them in it.
Yeah.
You know, shout outs to the veteran, you know, the old guy on the team. He totally lit it up from deep. So with that said, I feel like you kind of saw how, even though the Celtics have made it this far in the past, how this young core have made it this far, they're still young and they kind of lack that veteran leadership. Yes, you have Marcus Smart. Yes, you have Enes Kanter. Yes, you have Gordon Hayward. But those guys have never made it necessarily this far into the playoffs before. So they don't know what it's like. On the flip side, you have Andre Iguodala. He's been there before. You have guys like Goran Dragic, who has never made it this far in the playoffs, but he has played at a high level in a different league.
Yeah.
You know, when he played for the Slovenian national team and he won MVP, he knows what it takes. And then you have guys like Jimmy Butler, who's like been in, like he's been doing this for so long. Even though he's never made it this far, he's been doing it for so long. You saw how calm and collected he was when he played for Philly last year against the Raptors. Mm-hmm. He was their go-to guy. Mm-hmm. It's just that the rest of the team failed him, you know. So my takeaways from this game, I agree with you guys 100%. The better team won. As much as I was scared, at the end of the day, we saw what Miami was able to do to come back, to fight back, to take over and dominate. Yeah. With that being said, I just kind of want to quickly point out, when you look at the score, right? The final score is like 125 to 113. It looked like a complete blowout. But this game was a lot closer than it looked, because it was only in those final, it was in that final quarter that Miami kind of took over. So that was the Heat, Celtics. Miami taking that 4-2, a good series. I think all of us, like we all alluded to, we were all kind of scared, hearts pounding, like, oh my gosh, like, is this going to go 7 games? But thankfully it didn't. I'm happy Miami made it. That kind of recaps the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. At this point, I kind of want to go right into hot takes.
Let's do it.
For people, if this is your first time listening, our hot takes, this is where we have different topics where I, Nat Nat, and Lawrence are going to give you our hottest takes on these topics. The first thing I want to get to, which was kind of a bombshell to everybody that dropped yesterday, thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Woj bomb.
You know, the Woj. Yeah. The goat of reporting right here. The LA Clippers have decided to separate ways from Doc Rivers. Quick question. Were you guys shocked?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I was shocked. Yeah.
I was shocked. Because I thought, you know, this is Doc's first time with the team and they weren't all that healthy throughout the year. So maybe he was going to get one more shot. That ended up not happening. Where do you think, Lawrence, Doc Rivers would fit best?
Honestly, like if this happened like a couple weeks ago, he would have fitted nice with the Nets.
Oh, that's a good that would be a good one.
That's not a thing.
That would be a good one.
He might be nice in the Philly job. Now that that job is still open, they haven't signed anybody. He might be nice there. Taking control of those stars. I don't know if he'll be able to get out of the, you know, second round of the playoffs there in Philly, but that's I think that'd be a good fit for him.
What about you, Nat?
Man, I got two preferable.
Okay, let's do like a countdown. So let's do two and then one. So number two would be
Houston. Oh. I think Houston Rockets would be good. Him coaching James Harden and Westbrook. I mean, great.
And his son.
And his son.
He's going to follow his son.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, his son.
Got daddy That's ball right. again.
I don't know. I just wanted to see him coach James Harden and Westbrook. That would have been interesting. But my number one pick is the Pelicans. I think if he's there with Zion coaching him. And plus, you have J.J. Redick, who he coached previously in the past.
Yes.
I think if he has, you know, Redick there with him coaching Ingram, Zion, and Alonzo. But, you know, they're also in the West, you know, for both of those teams.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll make it that far, but, you know, at least get them in the playoffs at least, you know.
Okay. Okay. So my first two thoughts, right? The first one being Philly. But from different sources, different podcasts that have been reporting, they say that Mike D'Antoni is actually the favorite for that job in Philly. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would like to see what Doc Rivers could do with a nice young core in New Orleans. So I agree with Nat. I want to see what he does with a Zion Williamson or a Jrue Holiday and be reunited with a J.J. Redick. I think it would be interesting to see. We said it in the last episode, you know, the NBA bubble was practically made for Zion, you know, for the chance for him to make it into the playoffs. But
yeah.
With that being said, how do you see Doc Rivers? Because you guys are a lot younger than me. You guys have seen, for as long as you've been following, let me ask Lawrence, what do you see and know of Doc Rivers as a coach?
Well, from what I know, like, obviously we know Doc Rivers from those great years with the Celtics. If you think about it, he's never had a team that's been young. He's always had a team of veteran superstars, right? With the Celtics, he had that big three with Garnett, Pierce, Rondo, and Ray Allen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to L.A., right? They had Lob City with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. Those are all veteran players, like great players. So I'd be skeptical with what he'd be able to do with a young team.
For me, I really just remembered him being with the Celtics during those years with Ray Allen and those guys. Also in Lob City as well. But you're right, Lawrence. I agree with you 100% that he's mainly been with players who have experience, who are tough, and who are, you know, memorable players in the league. So I would too want to see him also coach young players or players that have potential.
See, I remember when he was coaching the Celtics prior to the Big Three, and I think he was really lucky that he wasn't let go prior to that, because the Celtics didn't necessarily have winning records those years prior to the original Big Three of Ray Allen, Garnett, and Paul Pierce. Now, with the championship, the one championship he did win, which was only one with that super team at the time, was considered a super team. They only had the one championship. They could have had two, but they only had the one. Yep. Then he gets traded to the LA Clippers, right? You have Lob City. When Paul Pierce comes over, you got Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Everybody's excited. You have three superstars. Well, two superstars. DeAndre wasn't fully a superstar. But you look what he did with that team, and they never got past the Western Conference Finals. So you have the Celtics, who, with their big three, they could have ran for, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 years, but they only won once. Then you get to the Clippers, they never win anything with big names. So it's kind of interesting to me, what can he do with young talent? How can he mold young talent? And then, even though they are a considerably young team, you do have veterans in Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick, guys like that, that can kind of vouch for Doc Rivers. I think it'd be really interesting to see what he's able to do with a team like that. I would like to see him on the Pelicans.
Mm.
So aside from Doc Rivers being let go, leaving LA, there's actually an NBA player who has voiced his opinion in wanting to leave the team that he currently plays for, and that's Victor Oladipo, shooting guard for the Indiana Pacers, who were bounced by my Miami Heat. Clean sweep.
Yep.
But back on track, where do you think let me ask you guys, what's your opinion? Where would you like to see Victor Oladipo playing at?
Honestly, man, I want him to sing. I want him to be a singer.
You know? He got pipes. He can sing. He got
pipes, right?
Hey, he can sing. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. In all seriousness, though, I would like to see him where they need a good guard. And, you know, I don't think this is possible. I'm very biased towards my answer here. But if he was in the Lakers.
Oh, my
God. I knew you were going to say Lakers. Right?
If he was there, I mean, hey, you know, I don't know. But, you know, when it comes to him, I would like to see him where they need a good guard. And in that case, mm-hmm. places like maybe even the Clippers, too. I'm sure Pat Bev and them aren't as good as Oladipo. you know, and like maybe for next year they get him, they might be able to beat the Lakers. Who knows? Maybe trade Paul George for Oladipo. But yeah, I mean, for him, I'd want to see him in the Lakers.
Yeah. What about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, Nat touched upon it. I think he'd be a good fit on the Clippers. Obviously, they have to give up a good package for him. But I think a good place for him would be the Bucks.
Ooh.
Right? We keep on saying that Giannis needs his Robin.
That's actually very interesting. That's very interesting.
If Depot could spread the floor for him, like he's got a shot, clear the runway for Giannis to go to take off. I think that'd be a great fit for him.
That's very interesting. I kind of like that take. For me, it's hard because I feel like all the good teams or decent teams already have a good shooting guard, right? Like my first thought initially, being very biased, is like have him come to Miami. You know, he could come off the bench. You know, but I like our squad, so I don't want to mess with our squad. But my second initial thought is for him to go back to the team that originally drafted him, which was Orlando. The thing with Victor Oladipo is people have a fear that he kind of fell off after his gruesome injury, mm-hmm. right? Like he's not the same player. But I feel like it's not fair to do that to him because this year wasn't a full year.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't really have, like, I don't feel he had his game legs ready. I think he still needs some time to fully recover, get himself into game shape. I think it'd be interesting to see him go back to Orlando. I don't know if he would like it there. I feel like a lot of people don't, but I mean, the Magic did make it to the playoffs. The bottom half of the Eastern Conference is not all that strong. The other options I can see, he's originally from Maryland. How would he work out on a Wizards team? Oh. We don't know what's going to happen with John Wall. You had Bradley Beal. Do you pair him up with them? You know, does he come off the bench? That's a nice young team. I feel like they could use all the help they can get because I feel like they gave away all their good players already. So, like,
right.
Take what you can get. And then lastly, the only other team I can think of that might need him, actually two more teams, would be Atlanta or the Knicks.
Ah.
Let's go.
You know, like, who knows? He might. He could probably flourish in New York.
Uh-huh.
It's a terrible situation to be in. No offense to all the Knicks fans out there, but you know, Victor's a nice guy. I wouldn't necessarily wish that upon him. But anyway,
it sounds to me that you would prefer him to flourish than ring chase in a sense. Would you agree with that? Like,
I would. You know, I would. As Lawrence busts out his New York Knicks jersey, his Patrick Ewing jersey over his Yankee jersey.
Hey, double layer, man.
He's all
double
New
layers
York.
Today. Oh, it's chilly.
Double
outside.
Layers. Yeah, it's getting a little bit chilly outside. I guess it's a little bit chilly down there in Florida, isn't it, Lawrence?
A little bit.
So I feel like. I think the Knicks, maybe even Atlanta. I feel like he has to stay in the West Coast. I mean, in the East Coast rather. You can make any case for an East Coast team. You could say, oh, Toronto would be a good fit. They need a shooting guard.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. You know, they don't have dope. Right? Because prior to me thinking of the Knicks and Hawks, I was thinking Toronto because. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Not to that level, but just a little bit, you know. So I could see him working out in Toronto. You know, in the West Coast teams, like you guys said, the Clippers, I feel like they're too stacked at the guard position because you have a Paul George who could play guard. You have a Kawhi Leonard that could play guard. You have different guys coming off the bench that can fill that position. So I think his best bet would be to stay in the East Coast,
yeah.
Or in the Eastern Conference, rather. But that kind of brings me to our last hot take. You know, both the Nuggets and Celtics were bounced by the Lakers and Heat, respectively. Man, this is really, really exciting. This is a really exciting NBA Finals. So I guess right off the bat, let me just ask, Lawrence, who do you have winning the Finals?
I mean, I alluded to it before. We got to go with the GOAT here. We got to go Lakers. I'm thinking Lakers in five or six.
So we already know who Nat's going to go for. Nat, who are you going for?
I'm going Team LeBron in five.
Oh, five.
Team LeBron.
And see, we already know who you're going for, don't we? Don't we?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, of course it's going to be Miami. Of course I'm going Miami. But is Miami going to win? That's the question. Okay, so the Heat fan in me, right? The Heat fan in me is saying that Miami's going to win in six. Mm-hmm. That's how I have it. Miami winning six. The realist in me says that the Lakers are going to win in six. So Lawrence thinks five or six. Nat, what do you think?
Like for the Heat, if they were to possibly win this, like what?
No, just for the series in general. You have the Lakers. So what do you think is going to be?
Lakers in five. They've always beaten all the teams so far in five. So I'm going to go five again for the finals.
Okay. History repeats itself.
I think if the Heat were to win this, they have to win it in seven. It won't be in five or six. It's going to be in seven if they win it. By a miracle, by a thin strand,
like,
gonna
win. LeBron's got to tear his ACL or something like that. KD's got to lose his arm.
Don't say that, bro. Don't say that.
Okay, so Lawrence, why do you think, aside from your guys, quote unquote, GOAT, why do you think the Lakers are going to win the NBA Finals?
It's just like that veteran leadership. It's like all around, right? LeBron. Obviously, he's been that this is going to be his 10th finals. Rondo has been there before, playoff Rondo. Even though AD hasn't had that playoff experience, I think he's got that star power, and that's going to speak for itself as leadership. They brought in J.R. Smith, right? All these veterans that they have, they're building this culture. They have the chemistry going. I will, like I said, five or six, because I think that the Lakers will get lazy a couple of games, and the Heat, being who the Heat are, they're going to go 100 miles per hour every single game, and they're going to catch Lakers off guard a couple games. But ultimately, Lakers are going to come away with the chip.
Why do you think, aside from LeBron, why do you think the Lakers are going
to
win?
The veteran aspect of the Lakers team, there's just too many veterans on their team for them to, not win the series. Because I think compared to Miami, they're mainly young talent. They got a few veterans in there. They're going to be wrong, but you have LeBron James. I mean, obviously, that's cliche to say, but you have LeBron James. No one can guard him on the Heat. Yes, there's Bam, but Bam's got an assignment, and that's AD, all right? And he can't guard both LeBron and AD at the same time, right? That's just impossible. But in terms of them winning, it's going to be LeBron. But Eric Spoelstra knows LeBron.
Yes.
He knows what he can do. That. He knows his weaknesses. He knows how to, he's coached him before. He knows how to combat him now. Yep. So that's why I give this a little bit of a scare. I think it's going to be scary for LeBron, but I'm sure Coach Spo is going to find a way around that and, kind of hopefully give them a fighting chance.
Okay. So here's my argument for Miami, right? I guess my first question to the both of you being, having favored the Lakers in this series, do you think that the Lakers need a third option? Because clearly we know who number one and number two are. Do the Lakers need a third option?
Yes.
Yes.
Always.
That's my question. Who's their third option? Does it matter that there isn't a clear cut go-to third option, or do they, in your mind, do you think they have a third option?
I think it changes each game, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what the Heat do too, because every game it changes. First game was Bam against the Celtics. Game three was Tyler Hero, right? I think game two was Dragic towards the end. So in that sense, it kind of changes who steps up besides the main players on both teams, not just the Heat.
So here's my argument for that, right? Like, you guys talking about Miami, how one night it could be Jimmy, one night it could be Bam, one night it could be Goron, one night it could be Tyler, one night it could be Duncan Robinson. One night, all of a sudden, it could be, I feel like Jay Crowder's due for a game.
Yeah.
Who knows? Kelly Olynyk could go off.
Iggy.
And give you 18 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for the Lakers, Anthony Davis could go off. LeBron James can go off. Who's the next one that can go on for the Lakers?
Rondo. I think Rondo's the third one for sure. After that, it could be the rest of them, but in minor roles, not in a takeover kind of situation, but just a minor role.
Okay.
Dwight getting those 10 offensive rebounds that one game.
Yeah.
Or, Caruso kind of just being himself on defense and actually slowing them down at times. It's like minor stuff. It's not like the Heat where it's a scoring barrage for each player every game.
It's interesting to me because you mentioned Dwight, you mentioned Caruso, but the person who a lot of people thought, especially during the regular season, who the third option would be, you haven't really mentioned yet, and that's Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Who through these playoffs has been playing pretty bad. he hasn't been producing. You said Rondo, you said Caruso. they can give you something, but at the same time, they're kind of like a Kyle Kuzma where you get streaky scores. Mm-hmm. I feel like, who knows? Kyle Kuzma is due for a big game. Or, you know, Alex Caruso could go off. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Right? Danny Green? Danny Green?
No.
He's, you know, I was listening to the Mismatch on the Ringer NBA show. And Chris Vernon was saying, let me backtrack a little bit. Kevin O'Connor said that Danny Green is due to go off for a game. And Chris Vernon added, he's been due to go off for a game in like for the past 8 years.
Yes.
Because that was the last time he made an impact on a team was when he played for the Spurs and they beat Miami. That was the last time he did anything.
Yeah.
He didn't do much for the Raptors last year. You know what I mean? So my question is, my fear for the Lakers is, aside from AD and LeBron, who's going to give you consistent scoring? Right now, as a Heat fan, the person that I fear right now, or the people I fear right now, are the bigs for the Lakers. An Anthony Davis, a Dwight Howard, a JaVale McGee. Because Miami is kind of thin at the center position in the sense that Dwight, JaVale, AD, like these guys are bangers. Like they can post up, you know, they can dominate down low. Bam Adebayo is not a true center. Mm. Now, when they did play in the regular season, you know, the close game that they had, Bam, I feel like outplayed Dwight. But can he outplay Dwight a whole series? We have to see. Mm-hmm. Then you have like JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis. That's tough assignments for Miami.
Yep.
I feel like Miami has agile defenders at the big man position. I feel like you're going to see for this series, you're going to see a lot more Myles Leonard.
Okay.
Yep.
You're going to see a lot more Kelly Olynyk. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot more. I mean, you already see a lot of Bam.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we might even see a Udonis Haslem appearance. I have no idea. You know, we'll wait and see. The oldest guy in the NBA right now. So with that said, like, do you guys, you guys are confident in the Lakers. What is it about Miami that scares you exactly?
See, I was going to ask you guys, how much do you think Iguodala is going to be a big factor in this series, right? He won the 2015 Finals MVP because he locked down LeBron. I know he's old now, but do you think he still has that capability to lock down LeBron to be able to stop him if Bam is going to go on AD?
In spurts. I feel like in spurts, he can give you something. In spurts, Jay Crowder can give you something. In spurts, Derrick Jones Jr. can give you something.
Yeah.
Defensively.
But I think Jimmy will probably take out assignment. He'll probably be the one to guard LeBron.
Yeah.
Most likely. Yeah.
I can see that.
How about this? Do you think is Spoelstra going to continue with the zone defense? Do you think he's going to stay strong with that, or is he going to revert back to the man-to-man?
I feel like the Heat fan in me thinks that Eric Spoelstra is going to come out with something that hasn't been seen yet. Because in the first two rounds, they never played the zone. They never played the zone defense against the Pacers or the Bucks. They brought it out against the Celtics. So if we see like some intricate version of the zone against the Lakers, I feel like this is a very high possibility. Mm-hmm. Because the type of 2-3 zone that they played against the Celtics is not your typical 2-3 zone.
Yeah,
in a typical 2-3 zone, you have your point guard and your shooting guard at the top of the key. But what Miami did is they had their wingmen. You create more blockage for, you know, passing lanes and everything. Yeah. So that was something I feel like kind of flustered the Celtics, which gave them a hard time against the zone. Who knows what Eric Spoelstra would, you know, he could do a 3-2 zone. He could do, you know, a box one zone. Like, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if the Lakers have to set up in a half court offense, Miami's half court defense will give them problems.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're going to give you crazy points, crazy stats. My fear for the Lakers is who's going to fill the rest of the stat sheet? You know, who's, because Kyle Kuzma right now is not producing. Danny Green is not producing. Dwight Howard, he's going to give you double-double every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rajon Rondo, Caruso, like they're streaky. They're not going to give you consistent, you know, offense. And who knows, because they haven't seen a defense yet in this finals. And listening to like other analysts and whatnot, what have you, the Lakers haven't faced a team like Miami yet in the playoffs. They blew by the Blazers, who were notorious for defense. Same with the Nuggets. They're notorious for defense. the Rockets were one of the higher ranked defensive in the regular season, but come playoff, that defense just fell apart. And LeBron and Lakers exposed that. Now you have a Miami Heat defense who's fortified, who's bona fide, who's very, very difficult to figure out. You know, can the Lakers overcome that? You know, I'm sure the greatness of LeBron James will be able to figure something out. The Lakers haven't seen, you know, people talk about like, oh, you know, it was a close game in the regular season, but Miami, the Lakers ended up beating Miami. That was a different Miami Heat squad. You know, they did a stat where the team that the Lakers played, the starting unit was Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Myers Leonard. You haven't seen that rotation at all in this playoffs. Not even once.
Not even Kendrick Nunn, man.
So it's a completely different, yeah. It's a completely different animal now that the Lakers have to deal with. Plus, with the addition of a Jay Crowder and an Andre Iguodala and a Solomon Hill, who knows? I feel like this NBA Finals is going to be very interesting. The Heat fan in me really thinks that Miami can surprise a lot of people. Jimmy Butler believes they can do it. In Jimmy, we trust. Jimmy gets buckets. But yeah, for me, as a Heat fan, what scares me the most is LeBron James.
Rightfully so.
Because even in games where he quote unquote disappeared, right, with the Anthony Davis like shot heard around the world, mm-hmm. he kind of disappeared in that second half. I feel like there's times where LeBron, I think he kind of holds back. He conserves energy. It's how Kobe was later on in his career, where he would pick spots like, okay, this is when I need to turn it on. And you saw that in the last game where they needed to close out the series and LeBron ended up with a triple double. Like, he has that ability. I don't think he can give you that every single night, though.
Agreed.
Now, what makes this series even more interesting is all the different ties these two teams have, right? You guys mentioned Eric Spoelstra and LeBron. LeBron used to play on Miami. Pat Riley used to coach the LA Lakers. You know what I mean? Yeah. When LeBron left for Miami, him and Pat Riley kind of ended things on bad terms, right? Yep. And then when LeBron won his championship with Cleveland in 2016, there's reports, Brian Windhorst reported that Pat Riley texted him congratulating him and LeBron never replied.
Wow.
So, and you know Miami. These guys carry 27 chips on their shoulders. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? From the front office down, I feel like Miami, they want to prove a lot. They have a lot to prove. And I feel like they have this deep desire to kind of show like, hey, this isn't a fluke. Like, we're here for a reason, you know? So it's interesting to see like all these different connections that Miami and the Lakers do have. Another connection I wanted to give you guys is,
I know.
Go ahead. What do you think it is?
Is it Kuzma and Tyler Hero?
Oh my goodness.
Lawrence, do you know about this, Lawrence?
I don't actually.
Tell him.
So the connection, right? The Heat Lakers connection between Tyler Hero and Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma used to date is she an Instagram model? I don't know
yeah.
what
yeah, yes. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Katya. And then now Katya's with Tyler Hero now, who she gets a lot of credit for Tyler Hero's 37-point game against the Celtics.
You guys see that tweet?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
So like this is gonna be really interesting. You know, are you gonna get like, you know, how's Kyle Kuzma gonna perform? How's Tyler Hero gonna perform? So there's bad blood between Pat Riley and LeBron James. There's bad blood now between Tyler Hero and Kyle Kuzma. But you know who the winner is of this whole series, regardless of what the outcome is. Who wins no matter what?
Yes. Dion Waiters.
Regardless of who wins, Dion Waiters is going to get a championship ring. If I'm Dion Waiters, I just sit back and relax. I'm getting a ring.
Yeah. Sit on the bench, you know, cheer him on.
For people who don't know, Dion Waiters started the season for Miami, and it was a rocky start with Dion Waiters in Miami. All the suspensions, you know, all the drama, but he started to come back, got more playing time, and then eventually at the trade deadline, he was released. You know, he was traded. They ended up letting him, whatever team got him, they ended up releasing him. And then before the bubble started, the Lakers picked him up. So now if the Lakers win, he gets a ring. If Miami wins, he still gets a ring because he was with Miami for majority of the season. for people who don't know. So, as we wrap up, for what we've discussed so far, all the fears for the Lakers, all the fears for Miami, are you, Lawrence, still sticking to your 5 or 6 games is going to be the Lakers?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Nat, I don't even have to ask you. I feel like deep down in Nat's heart, it's going to be a sweep.
Man. Like, honestly, I do. Oh. I do. Because no, listen. Honestly, no, real quick. This series for the Heat will depend on Jimmy Butler. Because he stays quiet sometimes.
Yes.
So he has to be on point for every single game. And we'll see if that's going to happen. It won't, but we'll see what's going
to
happen.
I had a fear, honestly, that it would be a sweep. But I believe in my Heat team to give at least some type of fight. I don't think they're going to go out like punks. You know, I feel like the swagger that they play with, the grit that they play with, I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to let them go out. This team wants to do it for Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero, after a big game, said he's doing this for Jimmy. Wow. You know, everybody just loves Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. I want Jimmy Butler to win. You really, especially all the stuff that he had to go through early on in his career for him to get to this point.
Sure.
And
even in his life, too.
Exactly. For people who don't know, he was homeless at 13. His mom kicked him out. He was ranked number 73 out of the whole state of Texas. He was ranked number 73 shooting guard. He wasn't highly recruited coming out. He had to go to a junior college. And then he rode to get into Marquette. He played really well in Marquette, was drafted 30th in the 2011 NBA draft to the Chicago Bulls. His first season, hardly got any playing time. Second season, wasn't any better. And then all of a sudden, he emerged slowly as the Bulls' star. And then they had a falling out, went to Timberwolves, had a falling out, went to Philly, had a falling out. Now he's in a place that he absolutely loves, which is Miami. So I hope...
Yep.
I hope they do it for Jimmy. Come on. Let's go, Miami.
Yeah. Win a game. Win one game. Yeah.
Give me 2 games. You don't give me 3 games. Give me 3 games. And let me just say this too. Paul Pierce, you know, big Celtics guy.
He's a bomb.
He said something interesting, and I want you to get your guys' take on it. He said Jimmy Butler, you could place him in any era, and he would be a great player. Agree or disagree? You put him in the 60s, you put him in the 70s, put him in the 80s, put him in the 90s, early 2000s.
In terms of mental toughness, yeah.
Yeah.
You like mentally, the way he's a player, mentally, yeah. But his abilities, actually, wait, you know what? I will partially agree with that. I'll go partially.
What about you, Lawrence?
I agree with that statement. Like Nat said, his toughness, mental ability, like it's like superior to everyone. I don't know if you guys saw that. I think Kendrick Perkins said it or something, but he said if you put a dog amongst cats, he's going to bark. But if you put a dog amongst dogs, he's going to be right at home, right? So as long as he's there, I think being that dog, like he could survive in any era, like you were saying.
So hopefully Jimmy Butler and his, for people who don't know, his coffee brand, Big Face Coffee, hopefully they get enough caffeine in them to pull out a couple games here.
We're not sponsored,
but you know, Jimmy, if you ever hear this, Jimmy Butler, put me on, bro. I got you. Okay, to wrap up, any last thoughts, closing arguments, what have you?
I got one thing.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Lakers win. Kostas Antetokounmpo. He gets a ring before Giannis. That's the most awkward Thanksgiving dinner ever.
And for people who wanted to see Leonard and Antetokounmpo in the finals, you got it.
Yes.
You got it. All right, guys, see you guys next show.